Amen. Everybody said?
Amen.
Yeah. I don't want you to think that Kim cheered that hard last night at the Gator game because there wasn't that much to cheer for us. But you can be praying for her. She deals with a little cold. But so excited to continue this series with you this morning. We've been, for the last several weeks, in a series called We Are the Church, Who? And we've really just been looking at some values that we really believe that we need as the body of Christ and in order to fulfill His call on our life and to really be the church that He's called us to be, that we would be a place that transformation and can happen, that we'd be a place where change happens in our lives. As I said last week, because we are a church who are made up of imperfect people and imperfect leaders, but we are connected through a perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. And together, we make up the church. We here at the Rock exist to love and lead others into a growing relationship with the Rock, Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I just want to talk to you about this value that we have dear to our heart this morning, that we want to be a people who are growing intentionally, that we really are growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so let me just give you a few truths about what it means to pursue growth, or some big picture looks at growth. First of all is this, that growth is healthy. It's healthy. It's healthy to grow. It's a measure of health. If something grows, it's healthy. If something doesn't grow, it's not healthy. It's not healthy. And Jesus, I think, really wants us to grow for one reason for sure, and that's found in John 8:31. It says this, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, if you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. God wants you to be free. He wants to set you free on this planet, this playground called Earth. He doesn't want us to be trapped by the things that the world offers. He doesn't want us to be trapped by behaviors or hang-ups or sinful situations. He wants us to be free. And once we begin our relationship with God, and once we start getting to know Him and walking with Him daily and growing in our relationship with Him, the next step in our journey is allowing His power to transform us and heal us, to really set us free, to be free indeed. You see, the power of our relationship with our loving Father changes us, providing us with the courage and the strength and the resilience we need to face old wounds and ongoing hang-ups and destructive attitudes. So if we decide to be healthy, to grow in our relationship with God, then freedom. Freedom is one of the things you can look forward to. The second thing is this, growth is enjoyable. It's fun. I mean, the results of growth is fun. I mean, there's great results when you grow. It's a good thing, right? Jeremiah says this about growing in chapter 15, verse 16. He says, your words are what sustain me. They are food to my hungry soul. They bring joy to my sorrowing heart and delight me. How proud I am to bear your name, O Lord. You see, the growth that comes from God is sustaining, and it brings joy, it brings delight, and that's really what God wants for our lives. But it's not easy. It's not always easy to grow, right? In fact, some of the situations that you encounter in your life that produce growth, those might be the most difficult situations that you ever face. We grow through times that are tough, right? I mean, if you you know that if you've ever been on any kind of team and you've had any success or whatever, it takes a lot of, you know, growth as a team to become successful. There's a lot of pain that goes into that, a lot of work, a lot of effort, right? And but the results can be wonderful, right? We also grow through tragedy. We grow through disaster. Those things aren't fun in themselves, but they produce something that is fun, that is a great result. And then finally, growth is God's design. And it's a good design. God is the one who created life, and He knows how it works best. And it's God's plan that things start small and then grow. It's God's plan that something starts as a seed and then ends up like an oak tree. It's God's plan that babies come out small and then they grow. He also knows where we grow best. John 15, Jesus talks about where you and I would grow best spiritually. John 15, 4 through 5 says, Jesus says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Jesus says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So if you and I decide, if you and I really decide, yes, I want to do this, and I want to remain in Him, and if we remain in God, then we will grow, a natural product that we will grow. We'll grow in such a way that our lives will produce benefits. Other people will look at our lives and go, "Wow, there's something going on there. There's something going on in that person's life. I can see the results of growth." And it's what the Bible calls fruit. And we can begin to impact our world because we are growing where the growing is good. We're remaining in God. So growth is healthy. Growth is enjoyable and it's God's design. But there are things that inhibit healthy growth. And so let me just share with you a couple of those things that I call growth inhibitors. The first one is this. First one's starvation. I want you just to think back to a time when in your life when you were tiny, right? You were just a little squirt, and you were so small, maybe you can't remember this, but you were so small you didn't even have enough muscles in your neck to keep your head up. You were just a little baby. And at that point in your life, your parents, they had to do everything for you, right? And they had a choice. They could do things to help you grow. And one of the things that they could have done is they could have said, "We're going to give our kid everything, right? We're going to give him a crib to sleep in. We're going to give her clothes from Baby Gap. We're going to buy a car seat to protect him. We're going to buy a little swing and all this stuff." But the one thing we won't give our kid is food. I mean, they could have said that. We're not going to feed our baby. We're going to give him everything in the world, just not the thing they need the most. Now, that's pretty ridiculous, right? And I don't think that happened to any of us in this room, but there are people in here right now that are doing that to themselves spiritually. Some of you are starving yourself spiritually. You're filling your lives with a million different things, just not the thing that you need most. I know so many of you have full lives, lives that are full of school and full of sports and extracurricular activities and hobbies and relationships, so full, but you're not getting what you need to grow. You're starving yourselves spiritually. And then you wonder why, you know, that there's not growth there. You have no God time. You have no time exploring the truth that God gives us for life found in the Bible. You have no time for meeting with a friend, for accountability. You're spiritually starving yourself to death. And then you kind of lay at home in bed at night, and when you're just quiet, you wonder, why does it feel so empty on the inside? And you haven't fed your soul anything. The second inhibitor, I think, is corruption. Go back to that example of the little kid. You know, you're a baby, so tiny. And when you're a kid, your parents could have chosen to hurt your growth. Right? This is another thing they could have done to hurt you. Instead of feeding you good food, they could have fed you bad food. Right? They could have fed you Drano or whatever. But they could have poisoned you if they didn't want you to grow. And I don't think anybody in here that's ever happened. And that's still a ridiculous example, Monty. But listen. Some of you are doing this to yourself spiritually. You're not starving your spirits. You're corrupting your spirit. Corruption is the key word there. You're not giving yourself no food spiritually, you're just giving yourself bad food. And there are a few things we can do to our lives spiritually. There are a few ways that we can feed ourselves that hurt us, that poison us. I mean, and you know that. We all know that. I mean, there's addictions, all kind of addictions and things that we struggle with. And really, all of us face addiction in some form. We all have some area that is basically, kind of telling us how to live our lives. And it could be a host of things, right? It could be, it could be overspending. It could be lust, pornography, alcoholism. You know, anything that you can't really stop or control. Anything where you kind of keep it a secret. And I want to encourage you this morning that God wants to get involved with you in that battle, because He understands that will inhibit your growth. It will stunt your growth in your relationship with Him. Romans 6, Paul says it this way: "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." And so I want you to let that verse just kind of ring out in your heart this week. Don't allow those things that you know that are corrupting and stunting your growth and your relationship with God to continue to go on. Ask God to enter into that battle with you and bring freedom. And I was thinking about the worst kind of toxin or corruption that you can have. It's a little thing called pride. You and I can have this pride in our life, and it's one of the most poisonous of all things. It's that little voice that says, I don't need any of this. I don't really need God. I don't need God's truth. I certainly don't need somebody telling me how to live my life. I'm fine just the way I am. Listen, that's a toxin that will keep you from growing spiritually. And I think God knows, I know He knows that these two things, starvation and corruption, will keep you from growing, right? No food and bad food. And that's why He wrote about it in His Word in Hebrews 5. He says, "You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong." It says, train yourself to recognize what is right and then do it. It's simple, right? But if we don't, if we continue to give ourselves bad food, or if we continue to starve ourselves and give us no food spiritually, then we're just like little babies who must keep coming back and keep coming back for milk. And it's really a ridiculous picture. You see, God says if you starve yourself and give yourself no food, or if you poison yourself and give yourself bad food, that's what you're going to be like, an infant. He says, don't be an infant. Don't go for no food. Don't go for bad food. Instead, God says in this passage, let me feed you solid food. Let me see you grow in your faith. Then you will become mature and you will know what is right, and you will recognize it and you will do it. And so that's some big picture truths about what growth is all about. And there's good news. If you're starving yourself spiritually, God wants to feed you. And if you're poisoning yourself spiritually, God wants to cleanse you. But it does require some steps on our part. And so I want to spend these last few moments talking about how to unlock the doors of, of spiritual growth and really begin to grow intentionally. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to this passage. We're going to be in here for the rest of the message in Colossians 2. It really gives us some steps to really begin to have this attitude that we're going to grow intentionally. Colossians 2, and I'll start in verse 6. It says this, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." You see, when Paul begins to speak of walking and growing with Christ, to me, it's kind of depicting a well-worn path that you have established and made by consistently living for Christ. If you know Jesus, we're all on this growth journey. And when people see your life, they should see a path to Jesus. And there's three ways that Paul shares with us to help us to grow intentionally. And the first one he said is to be rooted in Christ. That is the beginning point. I mean, just think about this. You know, a sturdy tree where its roots have been extended out and deep. And the deeper the roots go when it encounters storms, it will stand because of its deep, strong roots. And Paul's saying we must be rooted in the soil of Christ, making our home in Him, being nourished by Him. That word for rooted is a once and for all planting of us in Christ. And we're planted for a purpose. And the purpose is to produce fruit. And as you grow in the image of Christ, you pour His fruit into others. Matthew 7:17 says, "Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." And so what do people see in your life? What do people see in your heart? What fruit is being produced? Are you productive? Are you productive because your priorities are rooted in the soil of Jesus Christ? Or are you back and forth in this, you know, with the world, and you feel uncomfortable with church sometimes and with believers because you know this message, and you know, and it makes you kind of want to push back a little bit. Listen, Jesus is our model. And He spent time with His Father. And He spent time with His people. You know, 120 people, 70 people, 12 disciples, and then He poured into, you know, even in a deeper way, three of them. And that's what you and I need to do. We need to spend time with the Father. We need to spend time with other believers, praying, reading His Word, and listening to the prompting of His Holy Spirit instead of always listening to our flesh. And as we grow intentionally, as we are rooted in Him, we draw closer to the Lord. The second thing Paul says, that not only do we need to be rooted in Christ, but we need to be built up in truth. And that's kind of an architectural term, right? I mean, this project that God is engineering, He is doing a work in us. And so we move from a good soil and begin to talk about root systems, and we go to a foundation that we need in order to build a healthy life that will produce in us consistent basis, a consistent life, right? Healthy fruit. Matthew 7 continues this way in verse 24. It says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who's built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. You see, to build that kind of life, the kind of life that really I think all of us want spiritually, Jesus said we have to first focus on the foundation, right? That which lies below the surface. Because what happens underground, it will support life above the ground. What is held in secret in our lives will eventually be seen in public. An inside-out kind of life. So we are, so who we are in private should mirror who we are in public. And how we so need that in this day. To be who we are in private. You know, who we are in private, that it should mirror who we are in public. And the low standard of the world is to look just like the world, right? To duplicate the world. But Jesus says, no, our standard should be authenticity. To be authentic and real followers of Christ that have this strong foundation so that we can live out our faith, totally surrendered to Him. But again, we try to live with one foot in the world and one foot in relationship with Christ. If you want to be a follower of Christ, but live like the, we want to be a follower of Christ, but then we want to also live like the world. And I shared with the students a few weeks ago that there's really only one way to move from this duplicity kind of life where we live in the world and we want to live like Christ. There's only really one way to move from that kind of life to a life of authenticity, where what we do, what we say and do mirrors who we are. There's only one way to have a foundation to build our life on, only one root system in which our lives can flourish and grow. And Jesus says it comes down to one word. And it's not a popular word, but it's a very powerful word. And it's the word discipline. And I shared this with them a few weeks ago. I said, discipline is doing what you don't want to do now so that you can do what you want to do later. As a little boy eating your veggies now, and your body will thank you later. Doing your homework now so that you can go play later. Pray now so you can live, pay now, whatever it takes, so that you can play later. And I've always called it advanced decision making. This discipline, advanced decision. Students deciding to honor God's principles for your body now so that you can enjoy the blessings of God in your marriage later. Deciding to weigh the high value of sexual purity now so that you can understand the high cost of sexual sin later. Deciding to parent now with a picture of what your kids, you want them to become by the time they reach 18, spiritually, versus waiting until they reach the age of 18 and walking out the door without a faith in Christ and asking yourself, what happened? What did we not do along the way to invest in the foundation of our child spiritually? Hebrews 12:11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Doing what you don't want to do now so that you can do what you want to do later. This discipline, this being built up in the truth of God's Word, it's hard work, right? But it's hard work now, but it's joy later. And that's true whether you're building a house or a life principle. It still applies. It's all about laying the proper foundation and allowing God to build you up in His truth. And then finally, Paul says to be growing intentionally means to be strengthened in the faith. You know, our faith can be weakened and become stagnant. And if we're not careful, if we're not stretching our faith muscles, if we're not doing those things that really grow us and grow those faith muscles, your life won't be any different. If you're not intentionally growing spiritually. Intentional means here are some things I can start doing now, right now, to grow in my faith. Doing what you need to do to allow God to develop the root system, the foundation that will produce His fruit in your lives. Listen, Jesus doesn't promise us an easier life, but he does promise us a better life. You know, the rains, the tough things will come, and the question is, when those things hit our lives, will we be disciplined enough? Will we develop the habits in our life that will produce a foundation that will help us stand? And I've shared with you, from about 23 years of age until now, I began to build my life on this concept of advanced decision making, where I begin to put some disciplines in my life. Spiritual disciplines, or what I call spiritual habits of growth in my life. And we've talked about this over and over, and I just gave the students a habit acrostic to help them learn how to grow in their relationship with God. And I want to just throw one out for us this morning. I'm going to use the other word, growth. Just habits of growth. And again, these are things that we know, but are we allowing God to use them in our lives? Are we being disciplined enough to do them on a daily basis so that we can begin to grow, that we can begin to be strengthened in our faith? And so here they are, G-R-O-W-T-H. Go to God in prayer daily. Start my day with prayer, with a conversation with God. Instead of letting life come at me unprepared, I want to go at life by inviting God to help me with decisions before my day ever begins. Or read God's Word daily. Just begin to hide it in my heart so that I don't sin against Him, so I don't struggle with those things that hold me in bondage. Oh, obey God moment by moment. We don't obey God because we're trying to get something from Him or because we're afraid or guilt-ridden. We obey because we love Him and we recognize that He loves us. And when God says to do this or don't do that, we obey because we know He has our best interests always in mind. W, and we talked about this last week, witness for Christ by your life and your words. Just share your story. Ask God to give you opportunity. Open doors. T, trust God for every detail of your life. Really begin to live out Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him, submit to Him, and let Him begin to direct your paths and grow you. And H, Holy Spirit, allow God to control and empower your daily life through His Holy Spirit's work in your life. You see, God has planted a seed of life in all of His believers, and He has sent His Spirit, known as the Great Gardener, to ensure that the seed of life grows and produces fruit from within the life of a believer. And the work of the Spirit and the fruit that should be hanging on the branches of your life should be more love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more goodness, more faithfulness, more gentleness, more self-control. Right? Galatians 5, 22 and 23 ought to be beginning to pour out of your life. And how many can say that I need, Monty, I need more love. I need more joy. I need more peace. I need more patience on a daily basis. The growth process begins when we have a good soil, a teachable spirit, and a humble heart. John 15:8 says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father. When you and I flourish to our God-given potential, it makes God smile. He wants to grow us into the best version of us, the better life. He wants us to be fully alive in this life. God loves growing us. The habits of growth. And we must say, God, I know You're not done with me yet. I know I'm a construction project and it's still going on. Keep growing me, God. Root me in Christ. Build me up in Your truth. Strengthen my faith for Your glory. And Paul says when you are rooted and built up and strengthened, something happens, right? And what is that? What does it say in that verse in Colossians that happens when you begin to live your life in this growing kind of way? It says that your life will overflow with thankfulness. Let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. You will overflow with thankfulness. When growth begins and happens, you just overflow with the thankfulness and begin to share that with others. That word overflow with thankfulness actually means actively grateful. We rejoice and we overflow with thankfulness for what God has done and is doing in our lives. And the person who is intentionally growing will be filled with the love of Christ, and it will overflow out of their lives into the lives of others. I'll finish with this illustration. I have here a dozen roses, right, and a rose bush, right? A dozen roses and a rose bush. Now, if you were to give one of these to your significant other at Valentine's Day or on their birthday, you know, or maybe you're going to a prom or a formal or whatever, and you guys, you know, you're going to take roses to that one that you're going out with or on a date with. Which one would you take? Which one would you take? How about you guys back there? Which one would you take? The rose bush. That's why you're struggling, son. You walk up to the door. Now, I know you're engaged, and you know. But you walk up to the door the very first time, and you walk up there, hey, let's go to the prom. Here you go. No. You know, and unless you know your wife very well, I wouldn't give this to her for Valentine's Day either, right? No, we'd give roses, right? Because they're beautiful, right? They smell good. But can I tell you something? Can I give you the truth about it? These right here, they're dying. I mean, they're dying. They might last, how long they last, guys? Maybe a week. Not maybe a week. And then you just kind of throw them out with the trash, right? But this right here, this is living. This is living. And why? Because it is rooted. You know, it is built up with, you know, nourishment and fertilizer, and you can strengthen it over time as you plant it, and it will produce a legacy of roses for years to come. And so I want to encourage you. That's what God is calling us to choose life, to really begin to choose life. Be open to His calling in your life, to be rooted in His Son, Jesus Christ, to come into a personal, forever relationship with Him and allow the roots of your life to go down deep into that relationship. That God would say to you and to me, Imani, I want you to be built up in my truth. And we begin to allow His truth to become a foundation for our life that nourishes us and fertilizes us and helps us to continue to grow in our relationship with Him. And that we would be strengthened in our faith. That we would begin to put those disciplines inside of us that would help us to every day grow stronger in our walk and our relationship with Him. And if we will allow God to begin to do those things in our lives, He will nourish us. And we will begin to grow intentionally. And out of our lives will be produced fruit. Thankfulness would overflow out of us onto people around us. And they would see that fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control in the struggles of life. And they would go, wow, there's something different about that person because of the fruit that's being produced in our lives. And He's calling each one of us to that kind of life. Not just where we're growing, you know, as we step out of here today, or not just growing for 1 week because we get inspired by our message or whatever, and not really just growing for a year, but beginning to become a person, a church that grows for a lifetime, that really gets serious about allowing Him to help us be rooted in Jesus Christ and built up in our faith and, you know, and in the truth of God's Word and His principles and strengthened in our faith. We would be a people that people will see us and they go, wow, something's different about them. And we would begin to produce the fruit of Jesus Christ in our lives and begin to provide a legacy that will go on for a lifetime. And those around us, our family, our friends, employees at our workplace, people in our community, those that we worship together, we would grow intentionally. And God would use us to be His people, to be the church. So that's my desire. For me, and that's my desire for each of you, that we would be a people who are committed to growing intentionally and allowing God to produce a legacy in our lives that will bring change for a lifetime. Pray with me, please. God, I pray that as we sit here under the hearing of Your Word, and God, as Your Holy Spirit moves, that we wouldn't push it back or hinder You, Holy Spirit, that we'd allow You to really continue to speak into the depths of our heart. Father, that each of us would have the courage to evaluate our heart, our relationship with You and others. Father, really to see if we are, first of all, rooted in You through Jesus Christ, that God, that we've come to a place where we've said yes to Your gift, the sacrificial gift of Your Son, Jesus. Jesus, where we've received what You've done on the cross for us, and we allow that sacrifice to bring forgiveness into our hearts, and that we understand that You came and You lived and You died and You rose again so that we could be rooted in You forever, so that we can have a personal forever relationship with You, Jesus. And even in this moment, may we, if we've done it before, maybe we hadn't totally committed to You or surrendered to You, but we just say yes to You again. Right now, wherever you are, would you just say yes and invite Him in and receive the gift of His love? That's where it starts, being rooted in Him, confessing with your mouth right now that you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life, and believing that He came and that He died on a cross to pay your sins and He rose again so that you could have victory over death and you could begin to enter into a personal, eternal relationship with Him that would start right now. and go forever. Father, I pray that we as your people, as your followers, that we would allow you to build us up in the truth of your word, the principles that you give us, that we'd begin to hide them and place them in our hearts and in our decision making. You'd begin to change us, begin to grow us to be more like Jesus. And that, God, we'd have a faith that is strong, and courageous, and has the ability to stand, be an example. And that the pressures of the world, the peer pressure around us, wouldn't push us down, but this strong faith would allow us to stand and give you glory. So, Father, I pray that you would do your work in each of our hearts this morning. Whatever that is, wherever we are, grow us, God. Grow us to be more like you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.